From Mud Ice Arena to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On The Game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of The Game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
It's time to play The Game.
You'd be right. Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't a safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through The Game, 7:30 a.m. app. Message The Game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend.
Now, here's your host and professional hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome aboard. So let's recap the last 16 hours in chronological order. First, late last night, the Big Ten coaches in a conference call spent an hour bitching out Commissioner Tony Petitti, demanding him to take punitive action now in season against Michigan for the sign-stealing illegal scouting scandal. And now today, Big Ten athletic directors are meeting with Petitti for the same reason, ostensibly to do the same thing their coaches did last night. And then this morning, it came to light that earlier this fall, Michigan fired a low-level staffer after he was outed in a social media sting video purchasing alcohol for a 13-year-old he allegedly solicited online. That's just the last 16 hours. When is enough enough? Aren't we already there? I mean, you lay down at night to go to bed, and by the time you wake up in the morning, there's been at least a couple of new developments in this thing. It just doesn't stop. I just don't know how this can keep happening. More and more developments, whether adjacent or directly involved with the larger controversy, just more and more constantly pouring out the negative headlines, negative developments, just mounting at an exponential pace. When is enough enough? Every time something else comes out, I think we've kind of reached rock bottom in this thing, but I'm wrong every single time. And I don't know if it's going to slow down anytime soon. You know, I think most of us in the media have heard some stuff on good authority that's eventually going to come out. We don't know when, but there's some bad stuff we're all told, not just people like me in this part of the world, but you can hear it from the more plugged in U of M types. Even the Michigan message board types say that. When will enough be enough? I mean, when I sit back and pause and just try to detox from the complete incredulity of the whole thing. It really is hard to appreciate, to wrap your head around, and to fathom. And then when I apply that in the context of anywhere but there, wouldn't we have had some sort of progress or action taken by now? When is enough enough? And speaking of that, when enough is enough, let's take a look at the last year for Michigan football. Around this time last year, team captain arrested for doing 50 in a 25-mile-per-hour neighborhood, packing illegal heat with enough ammo to make Ted Nugent blush. And 3 hours later, he's on the team flight to Bloomington to play the very next day, never faces any discipline. Also around this time last year, a running back blatantly promotes anti-Semitic rhetoric on Twitter, not once, but twice, doesn't apologize for it, instead calling it all a, quote, glitch. And what consequences does he face? Well, they amount to an off-season field trip to the local Holocaust Museum, and we don't even know if that really ever happened. Early 2023, the offensive coordinator is arrested, his house turned inside out by feds in unmarked cars, in what looked like a scene out of a Martin Scorsese film, for alleged computer access crimes. He's fired a couple of days later, and then we never hear anything else about it. Oh, by the way, the football program is under NCAA investigation for a host of recruiting violations. The head coach is personally under NCAA investigation for allegedly lying to and obstructing NCAA investigators. And by the way, the program is now under NCAA and FBI investigation, among accusations of a heretofore peerless in scope and severity surveillance conspiracy. And at the center is a recruiting analyst who left a paper trail of his misdeeds at least 17 different schools and 35 games dating back to 2021 at the latest. This recruiting analyst, of whom we have countless hours of footage and screenshots, spending copious amount of time standing directly next to and talking with both the offensive and defensive coordinators and the head coach, also pretty clearly impersonated a staffer for a MAC opponent of a Big Ten rival to steal signs from the sidelines while wearing glasses with a built-in video camera at said Big Ten rival season opener. Now, you name me one other place in America where a coach with this kind of inventory of issues and problems would be actively negotiating a contract extension, where the school president is shamelessly shilling on Twitter for this coach who has more scandals than pairs of pleated khakis, where the local newspapers of record are sitting around operating as a distributor for this school's outright propaganda, while the national media churns out new damning allegations and developments multiple times each day, where the directional school implicated in G. Gordon Wolveridi's welfare-level attempt at disguise and espionage is held to account and takes action on the matter before the school actually at the center of the whole thing. Name one other place in America where this would happen. One other place. I'm here till six. There's only one place, and it's in Michigan. When is enough enough? That's what I just keep thinking out loud every time there's something new. So the story last night, ESPN and Pete Thamel broke that on their regularly scheduled conference call with the commissioner, the 14 Big Ten football coaches, after taking care of regular business for, I guess, about half an hour, had Harbaugh leave the call, and the other 13 spent about an hour making their case to Tony Petitti. I'll read you a few excerpts. This is from the ESPN.com story. You can find it there, or we have a sort of, we have highlights of it in our story on it at thegame730am.com and in the free Game730AM app. Collectively, the coaches want the Big Ten to act right now, a source familiar with the call told ESPN. What are we waiting on? We know what happened. The coaches in the Big Ten laid out to Petitti, who was hired in April, just how distinct of a schematic advantage Michigan has held the last 3 years by illegally obtaining the opposition signals ahead of time, as has been alleged. Coaches used words like tainted, fraudulent, and unprecedented on the call to describe Michigan's signal-stealing scheme, as has been alleged. Much of the call, according to sources, was coaches explaining to Petitti both how it worked and how it impacted them and their programs. Quote, people don't understand the seriousness of it, another source said. How it truly impacted the game plan. To truly know if it's a run or a pass, people don't understand how much of an advantage that was for Michigan. There was anger interspersed throughout the call, as one source described the sentiment thusly. Quote, every game they played is tainted. Now, apparently, according to ESPN, the coaches are pretty skeptical as to whether Tony Petitti is actually interested in ideas or their feedback as to taking any action. More from the story. The coaches acknowledged the reality on the call that the NCAA enforcement timeline won't impact Michigan this season, as the Wolverines are 8-0 and number 3 in the initial CFP rankings. And that's one reason the Big Ten coaches called on action from the league. Sources describe Petitti as listening carefully to the coaches, but not tipping his hand in what direction he may go. Sources express curiosity as to whether the Big Ten is truly interested in taking action or just listening to coaches so they can be heard. One quote, another source is quoted in the story as saying, quote, I don't think the Big Ten understood how upset everyone was. The tenor of the call was asking the Big Ten to show leadership, the conference, and the presidents. An unprecedented violation of the rules would require unprecedented action from the Big Ten. So there you have it. The coaches are applying pressure. We now know the ADs are meeting with the coach today, and I think you can probably guess as to what that conversation will sound like. It will probably be a mirror of what happened last night. And before we get into that, I got to tell you, there's something in this story at ESPN.com, the Pete Thamel story, that I'm surprised about. Maybe I shouldn't be. But it's clear through the story, according to the coaches on the call, that they believe Tony Petitti did not understand how big of a deal this was. The football side of it. He didn't understand what kind of an advantage it is, and he may still not understand it. So that, to me, if I were in any way associated with the Big Ten, that would be a concern for me. Like, how can you not recognize that? Your job is to look out for the best interests of the conference. I mean, how do you not know that? I understand he's more of a baseball guy, but, I mean, he's worked in college football before. And also, look, I just don't get how he doesn't see the severity of it. He was in charge of discipline for Major League Baseball when they handed down that penalty to the Astros for their cheating scandal. How does he not get it? That's surprising to me. So now we have the ADs taking a call with him today. I don't know if that's already happened or not. I haven't seen any reporting on that. But it's happening sometime today. You can bet they're going to back up their coaches. So what happens next? Because it looks like to me, the coaches are not happy with Petitti, and they won't be unless there's some action taken. The ADs will be in the same boat. If we get to that point where both the coaches and ADs have no faith in him to do anything about this, isn't he just professionally cooked as commissioner of the Big Ten? I know he serves at the pleasure of the conference chancellors and presidents. That's technically who votes on who becomes commissioner, right? That's his boss. But don't you think if the coach and the AD at a school go sour on the commissioner, that the university president slash chancellor is going to follow suit. Isn't that just an eventuality if that happens? What I'm saying is he's got the coaches upset and pissed off at him. The ADs are probably going to be in the same boat. If he doesn't do anything, doesn't he no longer have a buffer to protect him? I wonder if that will be enough to move his hand. I don't know. I'm just wondering that out loud. And speaking of, what could he do? I looked into it. The best I can tell, here are the options. So Petitti, as the commissioner of the Big Ten, can unilaterally hand out punishments at the so-called standard level. And what that means is Petitti has the authority to, on his own, levy fines of up to $10,000 and issue suspensions for up to 2 games. Anything more than that, though, requires approval from the Big Ten Executive Committee, which is a group of representatives from throughout the conference. But I think you can bet, if it got to that stage, that that's just a formality, right? We know what the rest of the conference thinks about this. We know how they feel. Let's put it this way. The delegations from the 14 Big Ten schools are in unison and lockstep on this, that they want in-season punishment. They want the Big Ten and Tony Petitti to take immediate in-season punitive measures against Michigan now. There's only one of the 14 that doesn't. The one that would be on the receiving end of said punishment. So what I'm saying is if we get to that executive committee level of a punishment, which I suggest anything Petitti would do would rise to that level, that's just a formality. Everyone not from Michigan is going to approve that penalty. The question is, will he do it? I genuinely don't know. I don't have a good sense. If I have to guess, I would say no. Because as we talked about yesterday, I think the Big Ten, this is just my take, I don't have any information to support this, but my read of the situation, and also keep in mind, you all call me pessimistic and cynical, fine, whatever, I call myself pragmatic and realistic. I would just wager that the Big Ten would adopt the same position as the CFP committee, which is, this is an NCAA issue, not our issue. We are deferring to them. Because inaction is easier, cheaper, and way less of a headache. The only way I could see Tony Petitti getting involved is if his job is on the line. And I don't know if it'll rise to that level. Maybe it would. I don't know. But we're kind of running out of time here. I mean, after this weekend, we can agree nothing is going to happen before this weekend, right? There's just not enough time, I don't think. But after this weekend, there's only 3 games left. Now, 2 of them for Michigan are enormous. At Penn State and home versus Ohio State to end the regular season. You know, I really only see 2 scenarios. One would be, and what I mean by that is, I only see 2 scenarios that I can realistically think of where the Big Ten does take some sort of disciplinary action in season against Michigan. One of them would be what we just talked about. Sounds like the guy has lost the confidence of the coaches. If that happens with the ADs, they could apply the pressure and threaten him with his job to get him to do something. Maybe. Maybe that could happen. I think that's possible. I don't know how likely, but I could see that happening. The other would be, and I wrote about this at thegame730am.com if you'd like to check it out. The only other way I could see the Big Ten forcing Petitti to get out of the comfort zone and to take action instead of taking the easy way out, which is saying, nope, it's an NCAA thing, not getting involved. The only other way I could see that happening is if a couple of the biggest brands in this conference threw around their weight to hit the Big Ten where it matters most, in the wallet. And what I mean is this. Remember 2 weeks ago when this all started? It was 2 weeks ago today. There was reporting at the time that when the Big Ten contacted the other schools, including Michigan State, who was just a handful of days away from playing Michigan, that the Big Ten discussed with Michigan State the option of canceling the game. Now, some have disputed the veracity of that report. I tend to believe it, especially since in the post game, after the 49-0 Michigan win here at Spartan Stadium, Harlan Barnett said they considered canceling the game. Well, I believe that. And if that's true, which I'm going to run with, if that was an option, couldn't Ohio State and or Penn State threaten the same? Think about it. It's two of the biggest games on the entire sports calendar this year, not just in college football. But it's probably the two biggest revenue games for Fox this whole football season, college football, that is. Michigan at Penn State is scheduled for 1 week from Saturday. It is the big noon kickoff showcase of the week. And barring some really improbable stuff happening, it's going to be a top 10 matchup. And then 2 weeks after that, or 3 weeks from Saturday, is Ohio State at Michigan, set for noon. The Big Ten kickoff highlight of the season, November 25th. And that is the game of games. A rivalry clash between, at the worst, the numbers 2 and 3 teams in the country to wrap up the regular season. Playing for the playoff, playing for the Big Ten title game. Both of those games are slated to be the big noon showcase. What if Penn State and Ohio State threaten not to play the game under the guise of we're concerned about player safety and well-being, like what the Big Ten discussed with Michigan State? Now, whether that's real or not doesn't matter. The point is, what if they threatened it? Well, we know the Big Ten is responsive when its TV partners are upset. And you can bet your ass, if there is any amount of dubiousness regarding those two biggest of big noon kickoff games happening, that Fox would raise hell with the Big Ten. Those games not happening would represent millions of dollars lost to Fox. The last time one of Fox's TV network partners was upset, it resulted in Michigan State hosting Penn State, moving from Spartan Stadium on Saturday after Thanksgiving to Ford Field on Black Friday night. Because Kevin Warren overpromised and underdelivered to NBC, they didn't get a primetime game on Black Friday like they were promised. The Big Ten scrambled. Michigan State, for some reason, took one for the team, and that's how we got that. Tony Petitti did that. We know he's listening to the TV partners. And that was their tertiary TV network. Fox is most responsible for this $7 billion media rights deal. I have a feeling they would listen. Is it possible that could happen? Or would Petitti call Ohio State's bluff? Remember, they would stand to lose too. If they don't play that game, I'm guessing it goes down as a forfeit. Or even if it doesn't, if it just goes down as not happening, doesn't that hurt their playoff resumes? I don't know. Will it get to that point? I don't know. You tell me, and also, just tell me in general. When is enough enough, and what do you think, if anything, the Big Ten should do about Michigan football in season? 517-342-63. Mark and Lansing, our resident lawyers on the line. I would love to hear your take on this and whether there's legalities involved and all of that.
Well, I'm calling as a Michigan fan. There's not necessarily anything that's in a football fan. You said Penn State and Ohio State might want to say we don't want to play, and that would be because of what?
Well, it'd be under the guise of the health and safety of players.
Yeah, well, we know that's garbage, right?
I think so, probably. Well, especially by that point.
No. Well, I'll take you off the fence. It's garbage. And then it's garbage. And anybody running with that stuff is a knucklehead.
Oh, the Big Ten said it, though. They said it, not me.
No. That's what the report said.
Well, that's what Harlan Barnett said.
That's what Harlan Barnett said. So we don't know if that was Harlan Barnett speaking on his own, or we don't know that was Harlan Barnett speaking on behalf of the Big Ten and what that was echoed to the Big Ten. We know that Harlan Barnett eventually said, no, we're not going out like that. Penn State nor Ohio State would either. Especially when Ohio State admitted that they changed their plays last year before the game. They know. Everybody knows. Michigan State knew. So if they were concerned about signals being stolen, they said, we got a fix for that. And the fix, you know what the Michigan State fix was, right?
Yeah, they didn't do signals. They ran the play in with the backup quarterback.
And they got beat 49-9.
Yeah, but that's not a great example because Michigan State is the equivalent of, like, peewee football in the NFL. Like, give me a stronger example.
I'm speaking Ohio State last year. Michigan went into Columbus and beat them, and they admitted that they came into the game knowing that they had to change up their signals.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that completely erases any effect that would have, though, because as we've talked about before on this show, Connor Stallions wasn't just interested in knowing all of their signals. This was way more elaborate. Like, there's algorithms behind this in anticipating behaviors and tendencies and play calling in certain situations. And there's evidence to suggest, regardless of them changing up their hand signals, we had a video that came out yesterday of Ohio State in the red zone last year, and they run a play. I think it's first down. They get like 3 yards. All right, pop up. Uh-huh. They do the thing where they all get in a formation and they stare at their sideline, Ohio State does, to get the play call. The camera has an angle where you can see C.J. Stroud looking at the sideline, but behind him we see Jesse Minter watching the other sideline with Stallions right next to him, and then Stallions is obviously trained on the Ohio State sideline, looks back at Minter and says, run right. What happens? Ohio State hands the ball off to the right. Michigan has both safeties crash right, and it's stuffed for a loss. So even if you change up your hand signals, Michigan had, at that point, almost two full seasons of hand signals and play call tendencies. And this guy, look, as bad as this guy was at covering his tracks, there were algorithms and AI involved in this. You know, this is about
Beanie. They got more than 2 years of that.
Yes, I agree.
I bet you Michigan State can go back and say we got 20 years of Michigan footage.
Well, you know what they don't have, though, Mark? They don't have 20 years of their footage intimately filmed from the stadium right next to the sideline by a cadre of surveyors. They don't have that. Only one team in the country has that. And don't tell me everyone does it, Mark.
No.
I respect you because you're clearly a smart dude. Now, I understand you're compromised like we all are by bias about who we like and who we don't like.
Ooh.
But you're smart enough. Come on, you're a smart dude, man. Don't play dumb with me. This is not something everyone does.
Beanie, I didn't say everybody does that. I said everybody scouts.
Well, you said Michigan State has the same information that Michigan does.
No, I didn't. You talked about it. Listen to what I'm saying. You talked about algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about tendency. I said teams can go back and develop that from looking at film of other teams for as long as they want to.
They can't do is cross-reference it through AI and other software with 3 years of hand signals. That's a big, and whether you want to admit it or not, I'm not trying to change your mind. I don't really care what you think. I'm just telling you, man, that matters, especially in today's day and age. Like, AI has, and metrics, it's taken over baseball, but people don't talk about it enough in the other sports. It matters.
Ben, let me ask you how this is supposed to work. Michigan, somebody from Michigan picks up a signal, right? From the other team, right?
Well, you mean watching it? Yes, they're watching Ohio State's sideline.
Then they do what? Relay that to the team on the field?
You can see it in the video. First of all, Stallions has a Denny's menu that's 4 cards deep with the other team's hand signals.
Every team has that.
They do not. They do not.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Every team.
Why can't it? Okay, I get this from Michigan fans all the time. I have not yet seen one photo to produce any other staff holding a card with the other team's hand signals. I can find pictures of Connor Stallions doing it. I can find pictures of Sharone Moore holding one. And I'm not talking about since this happened. I'm talking about in Getty Images going back to 2021.
Beanie? Do you ever watch the signals coming in from the other team? Forget about Michigan. Take Michigan out of it. All of them try to decoy their signals.
I agree.
You know what? You know why they are decoying their signals?
To get an advantage.
Because they know the other team is picking them up. If you don't think that every team has somebody on the sidelines watching signals, conveying that information to somebody, and that's all I'm saying.
Mark,
Mark,
listen.
All right, man. Yep.
Every team does not have a recruiting analyst, not even a coach, that's standing next to the coordinator and head coach for hours over the course of the last three seasons, not only standing next to them, but actively having conversations with them in game, telling them what the hand signals mean, and accurately, by the way, we have tons of video evidence, accurately predicting what the play is about to be on the field. No one else in the country does that. If you can prove that, man, you would have a job at any of the big networks like that. But for some reason, Mark, and I think you're smart enough to know why. In fact, I know you are. For some reason, we only have evidence of one school who has a recruiting analyst who does that.
Let me simplify it for you.
Please.
You think there's only one school that has a analyst on its bench?
No.
Watching the other team?
I know there's only one school who has a recruiting analyst who's camped out next to both coordinators when that specific unit is on the field and also spends an incredible amount of time next to the head coach and talking to all three of them during the game. There's not one other staff in the country where that happens. In fact, there's not one other staff in the country where a recruiting analyst is next to either coordinator, let alone the head coach, for any significant amount of time. This staff, the guy is practically renting out apartment space next to all three of them.
When it comes to other teams being aware that other teams are stealing their signals, such that they try to camouflage what they're about to call. They know somebody is on the bench. If Michigan State has a guy watching the other team and steal, call it stealing just for purposes of that, how is that person passing that information on to the coach?
Well, I don't know. I just know how Stallions is doing it.
I know you don't.
Well, I know how Stallions is doing it, Mark, because I have eyeballs that work, and I'm on Twitter, and I can see the videos of him doing it. Is the newest video? I already told you about the Ohio State game last year. There's a dozen of these. But the newest one that comes out is a little inconvenient for your theory, because it happened in last year's Michigan State-Michigan game. It's a third down for Michigan's offense, and Connor Stallions, for some reason, on a critical third down, is standing between Jesse Minter and Jim Harbaugh. They come back from break. Harbaugh takes off his headset, says something to both of them. Stallions says to both of them, edge pressure. Then Minter sends in his hand signal or whatever it is, Sharone sends in his hand signal to his offense. And guess what? Michigan State sends edge pressure and Michigan runs in the opposite direction.
You ready?
Well, I'm not ready for more BS, but I mean, it's good radio, so go ahead.
You don't want BS as much as I am.
Mark, listen, dude, you're up here. You're a quiv. I know you're a lawyer and I know you're a good lawyer. And I know your job is to be a professional equivocator. But, dude, come on. The worst part about this is, again, I like you, and I like having you call, and I like arguing with you even more. But the problem is you're being so intellectually dishonest. Because if this was Connor Stallions at Ohio State, you would be calling your congressman, or maybe you yourself would be getting involved as a lawyer.
Beanie, no, I wouldn't.
Oh my God!
Because you can. I'm not a fan like that. I would not be called.
No, you're just a fan who calls up sports radio and denies reality. I do like you.
Okay,
I do, and I enjoy you calling. I enjoy arguing with you.
But when you get a minute, I want you to explain exactly how Michigan State may have somebody on the sideline looking at the other team's plays and how that information might be passed on to the coaches.
Okay.
Just deal with that. Just hypothesize how that might occur.
Okay.
Right? During a game.
Okay. I will. And while I'll let you go, but I appreciate the call. I just got to move on. I'll do that, and you work on getting out of the cult. We'll call it even. Bass Boat Randy's on the line. Thanks for waiting. What's up, man?
Hey, you know, I know everybody wants something to be done right away, okay, Big Ten commissioner or whatever, but just think about it this way. I mean, that would be a punishment, okay? Then everybody could speculate how good Michigan was and what they could have done. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. So just, okay, so Michigan's got the it's us against the world attitude, okay?
Yeah. Now, okay.
I might be wrong, but it might just be firing this Michigan team up, okay? Like, you know, and just say they go on and they have a run and they run the table and they win the national title. Now, what would be more hurtful to them? Being punished now and speculate what's going to happen, or go out there and whoop everybody's butt, win that national title just to have it stripped away from you like a little kid on the playground?
I think now, because vacating of wins and championships seems like the ultimate non-penalty to me. But you think that actually hurts more?
If, you know, I mean, in reality, yeah. I mean, it, you know, because then they've been caught, okay, cheating, whatever. And I just think that Harbaugh has been there for how long, and they hired him and gave him all this money and all these breaks to win the national title, okay? Well, guess what? He won the national title, and even if he does not plan to leave, if he's stripped of it, he's fired, correct?
Well, yeah, or he may leave before that's an option, but go on.
And I mean, to me personally, of course, I'm older. I know I'm old school. I just think that if Michigan was to have a national title stripped from them, you know, I mean, like Brandon, the old show, the guy's got all of his medals and everything just thrown in the ground saying, get the hell out of here. I think that would do more damage to the school than it would if it was early. If, you know, people, the consensus want to have it something done now to ban them, okay, fine, but we can always speculate. But now, if they were to win that title over, you know, just outright kick everybody's behind, and then they have it taken away and say, well, yeah, guess what? But you cheated, so get out. If you cheated, get out.
Yeah, look, I get it, but I just, you know, the problem I have is, maybe you disagree with me, I just think vacating wins and vacating championships is the ultimate toothless, you know, discipline. It's a slap on the wrist, really, because while you can't have the trophy anymore and you can't hang the banner anymore or whatever, it doesn't erase it from people's memories, right? It still happened.
Oh, true. I didn't think about it that way.
It still happened. That's when it's in our minds, you know, whether we're talking about people who celebrated it or didn't want it to happen, we still remember, we experienced it. It really happened. And then, you know, Michigan in this case would have already benefited from it. Like winning a national championship has economic benefits, of course, but also recruiting benefits, you know, and benefits for like applications to the school. Like none of that would be changed by having to pull the banner down. You know, to me, if you're interested, if the Big Ten is interested in doing something to protect the integrity of the game, and that's what they say the issue is. And I believe that. Then you got to stop them from being able to contend. And the thing is, I don't know what you do. What does the Big Ten do? Say you're ineligible for the Big Ten title game? Okay, they still get in the playoff though.
Oh yeah, see, it's such a mess. But I, you know what? One thing you and I agree on: something's got to be done because you know what? This stuff's getting old real quick.
Well, what would you do? I'm asking, if you were in charge, what do you think? And I'm not trying to post you up. I'm just looking for ideas because maybe there's something I haven't thought of.
Okay, I'm old school. Okay, I tell you what, suspend. You know what? Just get Harbaugh. Say, you know what? Your team can go to the Big Ten playoffs. You know what? Or you know the championship game in the playoffs if you make it. But you're not gonna, buddy. You're gonna sit your butt down and you're gonna watch.
Okay.
Just suspend his butt. Okay.
Yeah.
Why punish the guys on the? You know, why punish the kids on the field? They're the ones busting their butt. They're the ones.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing exactly what the coach tells them to do, and that's what I've always been told. Do what the coach tells you to do. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I'm sure that, you know, these kids are out there busting their butt. You know, I mean, they're getting these instructions from the sideline, okay? So punish the coach and the coaching staff and let the guys just go out there and play the game. I mean,
so I like that. I like that for a couple of reasons. One, it holds accountable the head coach, who, according to the rule, it doesn't matter whether he knew or not, he is accountable. So I like that part of it. I get what you're saying. Don't punish the players because they weren't involved in the scheme. And I think that's a fair point. The problem I have with that, though, is that's in a way you're trying to be fair to those players. I get that. But that's right. Not fair to all the players who wouldn't be in the playoff because of Michigan's cheating. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, double sword, bingo.
Yeah, so it's like, look, I know there's no perfect solution to this thing. If there were, it would have happened already. The problem is it's complicated, and it's messy, and it might get, you know, litigious even. I don't know. But there's so many moving parts. I hate the, you know, vacating stuff because it doesn't really matter, and I hate if the punishment's going to be, well, when the NCAA wraps up in a year, Michigan will have a postseason ban or a scholarship reduction. Well, all that will do is punish people who weren't here and weren't part of it. Like, what good is that?
Bingo. You know how all of this could have been avoided? A long time ago, if you would have removed your name from being the Big Ten commissioner, remember that show?
Oh, my God. Good. I'm glad it didn't happen. I'm glad they didn't hire me. I wouldn't want to deal with this.
Oh, hell no. Hey, thanks, Beanie. All right. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it. I'm going way over, but want to get one more message in here that came in. JR in Grand Ledge says, Beanie, time to move on from Mark on the line. You're losing listeners because of it. That was when Mark was on the line. Well, okay. I understand you don't like what he has to say, but I do like Mark, and he's a smart dude. He's a lawyer, and I appreciate all of his, you know, candor. He's enlightened us with during the Mel Tucker and everything legal saga. I appreciate your concern for the programming, JR. But I do like arguing. And so does he. He's a lawyer. He does it professionally. I kind of do it professionally, I guess, but not to accomplish anything other than putting on a 2-hour rant about sports with fart jokes mixed in. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on the game, 7:30 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask sales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and the game 7:30 a.m.
Be aware that eastbound I-496 from Lansing Road to Grand River Avenue, that's going to have a lane closed for construction there until the 15th of November. You got a traffic tip, 882-1389. With traffic, I'm Nathan Vandenberg.
Sports talk and the best play-by-play in Lansing. It's just what we do. We're Lansing's number one source for sports talk. The game 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back for a short segment here, but I did want to pass this along. I did just get a little bit of a breaking news here. I don't know if it's tremendous, but we knew the ADs were going to meet with Tony Petitti today. I'm told now that that will start here at 5 o'clock, so just a matter of minutes. I'll try to see if I can get any updates on that while it happens. I wouldn't count on it, though, because my understanding is stuff doesn't really come out of those meetings while they're ongoing, at least not in my experience. But anyway, I'll try to keep you updated as I can. And let me get one more message in here. This is from the free game 7:30 a.m. app. Who is this? JR in Grand Ledge. Beanie, time to move on from the smart guy on the line. What? I already read this one. Oh, it came through twice. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, we already took care of that. Hey, lay off Mark. I like Mark. I appreciate your concern, JR in Grand Ledge, and your taking ownership of the you know, the station. I do. And thanks for listening and messaging in. But I also appreciate Mark calling in, and or anyone who disagrees with me or anything like that. And don't forget, arguing on sports radio is what it's all about. Back in a couple, it's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
WWE. FM, East Lansing, a Town Square Media station. The Game, 7:30 a.m. Lansing's only sports station. From Spartan Stadium to Ford Field, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the Game, 7:30 a.m. 7:30 a.m.
Hey, it's the new Michigan fight song. Welcome back. All right, the main topic today. With the news that the Big Ten coaches are putting pressure on Commissioner Tony Petitti to do something about the Michigan situation. In season. And I'm told the meeting between Petitti and Big Ten ADs just started within the last 10 minutes. Ostensibly, they're going to do the same thing as the coaches did last night. We're asking you, what should the Big Ten do, if anything, about this? And what can they do? I've already had some spirited calls and messages on this, as I suspected. I mean, look, I'm not here to tell you I know, because I don't. I have no idea. I don't know what's possible. I mean, I have a general understanding of the guidelines that you know, say what the commissioner can and can't do. But I don't know. I don't think there's an easy one-size-fits-all solution here. I think it's going to be messy. It would probably be fought legally if it does happen. I don't know. I have no freaking clue. I don't know that there is a solution out there that's simple and takes care of everything. But hey, maybe there is. You can tell me. Here are all the ways to weigh in. 517-300-4263. That's the phone line. You can email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use the free Game 730 AM app. Just click chat in the main menu, and it'll send over a free text message to us, okay? Or you can use Facebook. Send us a message or comment there. Just search Facebook for the Game 7:30 a.m. And to the Michigan fans, we took one call from Mark and Lansing in the first hour. And to any other Michigan fans listening right now, I want you to do yourself a favor. Pull out your smartphone or hop on your computer, open up a browser, and type this URL in. cult-escape.com. I want you guys to get help. Worried about you. Out to the phones. Joe in Lansing has been waiting. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on? That was an excellent segue into that with that Glee song.
It's the new fight song. It's the new U of M fight song. It replaces, you know, Hail so to the Victims or Victors.
You know what's so funny about that song? That people think it's a love song. It's actually about a stalker.
Yeah. And it's pretty clear, isn't it? Like, if you're just barely paying attention even, you know that that's not normal behavior the singer is talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, so what's Michigan's record? 8-0?
Yes.
8-0. So they've got 4 games left?
Yep.
4 games. So what would anybody think that they would – that would suspend Harbaugh with 4 games left? And case in point, I mean, this runs pretty deep of, you know, this alleged spying, but how many coaches have been under investigation during the season? Like, it doesn't matter if it's basketball or football or whatever. I mean, you know, you could look at the Roy Williams thing, and he was always under the microscope. Sean Miller was on
Bill Self.
Bill Self, and it's just they're not going to suspend them. And, you know, if they suspend them, what are they can't clean house. I mean, they're still going to have the same coaches.
I know that's the thing. Like, if you suspend Harbaugh, I mean, don't you have to suspend more than just him? I get he's ultimately responsible because he's in charge of the program. So maybe you don't. I don't know, but also that's just. I mean, I get it that you'd be trying to send the signal that he's being held accountable, but I don't, for people who, let's be real, 98% of the college football universe hates Michigan and would just like to see something bad happen to them. All right, cool. I'm good with that. Whatever. But if you think suspending Harbaugh is going to change the outcome of this season, I just don't see how. Because despite the cheating, which, yes, he is ultimately culpable for, the real shame of it is they've had a hell of a football team the last 3 years. And that team's still going to be there, right? I don't see the outcome changing with Harbaugh, whether he's on the sideline or sitting at home watching on his couch.
No, definitely not. And, you know, his staff, you know, I mean, there's a staff. I don't even know who was wearing the staff. Like, was he the only person aware of this? How many people on the staff was aware of this? How many coaches were aware of this spying?
So we don't know officially, but look, it's pretty clear from the video we have of the sidelines over past games. Connor Stallion spent a lot of time next to and communicating directly with Sharon Moore, offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter, and Harbaugh over the last 3 years. So those three for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like it's a, you know, do they sign a contract? Is he going to sign a contract? Well, of course he's not going to sign a contract if he gets caught for cheating.
But they're supposedly pushing forward with it. That's what I heard in the middle of the week. But I'm also told that Michigan has built in some language into this contract extension that would protect them against him, you know, getting in serious trouble here, which is obviously smart lawyering on their part.
Yeah, one of those clause deals or whatever.
Yeah, so. Like they could, like Tucker's moral turpitude clause, I guess they're working on something that would kind of get Michigan out from having to pay him if he's in NCAA trouble or rung up on it for any of this. That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
But that's not official yet. So thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. From one Joe to another. Is this Joe?
Yes.
Joe, where are you calling from and why don't you dig in?
I'm calling from DeWitt. I'm a Spartan fan and this whole thing is, I think it's pretty funny. If you think about the facts, you have an actual Michigan on-field coach on the sidelines spying at the Michigan State game.
Yeah, so in a CMU disguise. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yes, it's not only incredible, but it's totally hilarious. And the fact that the U of M fans are still trying to argue that they shouldn't get in trouble for that is absolutely preposterous.
I'm with you.
And if the Big Ten doesn't do something, you're going to absolutely open Pandora's box.
Well, okay, so let's unpack. I'll give you all the time in the world to talk, to keep going. But let's unpack that a little bit. So I'm with you. The pictures of Connor Stallions in his welfare-level attempt at a disguise on the CMU sideline at Spartan Stadium earlier this year, it is funny. It's just, you got to laugh. But it is serious, too. It's seriously messed up. I don't think I've ever seen a more depraved attempt at trying to get an advantage. It's wild. It's unthinkable. But at the same time, you know, when we step back from it and stop laughing, here's what I keep coming back to with it. Isn't that the definition of lack of institutional control? You have an assistant on your staff who, aside from doing all the stuff we already know he's doing from the gist of the story, the latest development, or I guess two days ago's latest development, is now he's cosplaying as another school's assistant coach to spy on a Big Ten rival and help that MAC school against that Big Ten rival. It's just, isn't that the definition of a lack of institutional control?
It has to be. And one of the things that I read says that if you have multiple level one violations at the same time, or enough level two and level three violations, that's the definition of lack of institutional control. So it is literally meeting the definition. And if we think about it, and we think about it from our perspective in relation to Michigan, if it's not cheating, then why aren't you volunteering to give all of your signals to every team you play from here on out. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we didn't get in. There's no advantage to it. Okay. So you guys just painstakingly have done this for 3 years just for the hell of it. And this guy is scheduling. And this guy is basically a travel agent for a network of cadres around the country to spy on these other teams. Now, there's no real advantage to that. We're just doing it for the hell of it. Sure.
And think about it. If you're like, first of all, another thing that no one's talking about, if they started doing this 3 years ago, it helped them to retain coaches. It helped them to gather money from boosters. It helped their NIL. It helped them to get recruits. So the team they've built now is on the back of the cheating that started whenever it started. This is not a this year thing. It's not we have the best team in the world and we can beat you anyway.
And yeah, it's tainted, well, isn't it?
If I was Washington and I ended up number 5 and Michigan went, I would lose my ever-loving mind. It would be so unfair that you did all of that work for the past 4 years and then the cheaters slide right in there.
Right. So that's going to be a real issue. I think you're onto something. Yeah. That we will hit critical mass, not here, but in the national media. Because here, you know, they'd rather do investigative pieces on Michigan State's security protocols at Spartan Stadium when Connor Stallions got in a disguise instead of, you know, covering the scandal that led to it. But anyway, I think you're onto something. That will hit critical mass. And I think the playoff committee is hoping and praying someone beats Michigan to take the ball out of their court, to save them from responsibility.
I personally think they should take the win away at Michigan State. The very unquestionable in-person on-field coach cheating, yoink the win, and then put them and tell everyone else this is absolutely impermissible. You have there. Don't even think about doing this, or we will slam you. And let Michigan know what you did was completely wrong, and you knew you were doing it. Let's not pretend that.
Take the win from 2 weeks ago here away.
Yeah, Michigan State.
Well,
Michigan State, because that's the one we have proof that they had an on-field coach who's in direct contact.
Earlier in the season. I see the connect. Right. If you're waiting for that, you're going to get that eventually when the NCAA concludes. They're going to have to vacate all that stuff. So if you want that, you just got to be patient. I don't really care about that. I'm more interested in what's going to happen going forward, because it's hard for me to see how can college football be serious about the integrity of the results of its games, of its season, of its playoff, if they let these guys in?
I totally agree with that. And you, lots of other people agree with it. And then there's the proof of how poorly they did against the spread all of Jim Harbaugh's tenure until they started cheating. There's just piles of proof at this point. And to pretend that there's not is going to seem so backwards that the people that are actually getting screwed are gonna file lawsuits is what's gonna happen. Whoever ends up 5th and Michigan gets in, they're gonna lose out on millions and millions of dollars, and they're gonna want to know why, and they're gonna be looking for answers litigiously. That's what I would do if I was them.
Well, thanks for the call, Joe Induit. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening and calling in. Yeah. Look, it's complicated and multifaceted, that's for damn sure. And hitting on the spread thing, I think that is probably the most eye-opening part of this. When you look at how Michigan fared against the number before 2021 and since, I mean, they were a below 500 team against the number under Harbaugh going into 2021. Since, not only are they above 500, but they're the best team in the country by a considerable margin. Better than Georgia, who, can we agree, Georgia has been the most dominant football program in college football over these past 2.5 seasons? I mean, they're going for a three-peat. No one has come close to them in that regard. And yet Michigan is performing against the spread, not just better, but way better. In fact, Michigan is outperforming Vegas odds makers at a staggering rate, that the rate at which isn't usually observed. That alone ought to raise eyebrows in the worst way. 517-300-4263. Ted in Lansing, what's up?
How you doing today?
I'm good, man. What you got for us?
Well, a couple things. Let's start with Mark's comments, our lawyer from Michigan. Mark has 2 degrees from Michigan, and he's a lawyer, so we know there's a bias there. I have 2 degrees from Michigan State, and I'm a lawyer, so we've now put that all on the line. I'm shocked and surprised that he would use the defense that other people are doing it. Let's use tickets as an example. You get pulled over for speeding. It is not a defense for you to say other guys were speeding too. You either were speeding or you wouldn't.
Right.
If you have been speeding, then you pay the ticket or you're found guilty. There's so much evidence. It's called, if nothing else, it's circumstantial evidence of all the violations. This team was built on the back of, number one, illegal recruiting, and we don't know how many of their players went to Michigan after illegally talking to Harbaugh or somebody on the phone. You could never codify that, probably. And then we've now got these signals that we know go back 3 years. So how many games have they won, close games, because they had stolen the signals? And to say that this is not consequential is just ignoring the fact and putting your head in the sand. So I think at this point, we sentence people to, number one, punish, and number two, send a message to society. The best message we can send this year is the University of Michigan is ineligible for any postseason play, Big Ten championship, or any bowl game or the playoffs. Say it.
But how do you do that? Like, obviously the Big Ten could do that as it applies to the Big Ten title game, but the College Football Playoff Committee would have to do that for the playoff, and they've made it clear they're not interested in legislating this.
Well, they're not going to legislate it. It's real simple, Beanie. All they have to say is the criteria we look at is strength of schedule and this and that and the other thing. And if the Big Ten voids any of their victories, then they don't have the record.
Yeah. Well,
there are ways around it. Let me and two of the committee's lawyers sit down. We'll come up with a way to keep them out.
Okay. Well, okay. So how likely is that, though? Like, I don't see that happening. Hard for me to see Tony Petitti doing anything, let alone him doing something and the playoff committee doing something. I think they don't want to get involved. I think inaction is definitely easier and more attractive. And I also think that they're just hoping and praying that Ohio State or Penn State or, God forbids, Purdue or someone else can do the job for them.
You know, I mean, that's a problem. And you and I talked about that a week and a half or 2 weeks ago when I said, I think what they ought to do is keep them out. And you said, well, that'll never happen. Well, those odds have gone up a little bit. Pressure.
Yeah, I agree with you. They have. I think it's possible now. I just don't think it's at all likely.
I still wouldn't bet on it because I think you're right. I think the odds are still a little long. But who knows what's going to come out in the next week?
That's true. That's a good point. I've maintained that. You know, I've heard some stuff from some Michigan people that they think is going to come out about this. That's bad. And the thing is, they don't know when, but they think it's for sure coming. If that's true, and the stuff that they're talking about, and you can find it on message boards and Twitter,
sure.
If that stuff does come out in the mainstream and has any kind of credibility, some substantiation to it, which if it gets in the mainstream media, it will. Yes, I think that would do the trick for everyone here. It would settle the problem that way because I think it might move Michigan's hand to act out of, PR interests. But I don't know how likely that is either.
Well, here's the smoking gun that's sitting there right now as you read all this stuff. And that's the complaint by Ohio State that they're accusing Michigan of hacking into their cloud.
Right.
Now, that, if that becomes substantiated, not only is Michigan in trouble with the sports, there's somebody in trouble with federal law. There are federal right. laws against hacking.
Now, so that, and what you're mentioning there is that, right, that's what I was going to get to. That's allegedly already under investigation from the FBI. And, you know, you can connect the dots. We know from the ESPN reporting that all of this started through a third-party independent investigation that another school hired. I think we can safely assume now that was Ohio State. And according to people in the know, Ohio State got evidence that Michigan was accessing their cloud server, obviously improperly and illegally. They say that they have proof of that, and they've given it to that the FBI. So, I don't know. I wonder why that hasn't been produced already. Like, if that's true, that should be the bombshell of bombshells. And yet that came out like a week ago, and it hasn't really blown up into the mainstream.
Well, you have to understand how the FBI is. They're very slow and very deliberate. And they're probably looking at it, and then they have to go up there. They have a hierarchy. First, the field agents take it to the resident agent. Then the resident agent takes it up to the regional, and so on. And along the line, there's going to be people say yes or no. But I think if there's any credible evidence of this, that even creates more public pressure against having them in the playoffs.
All right, man. Thanks for the call, Ted and Lansing. I appreciate it. Maybe we could organize a lawyer off between Ted and Lansing, the Michigan State guy, and Mark and Lansing, the Michigan guy. Man, that would be radio rating suicide, a lawyer contest. Appreciate both of you guys. I got an email here, beanie@wvfnam.com. Steve, formerly known as Daily Double, says, just think 4 years ago, Michigan fans were not happy with Harbaugh. He had to do something to keep his job. Well, that's one of the working theories. You know, look, if they don't duck the Ohio State game that year, he's probably fired. I don't know how you would survive the ass-whipping that was about to be administered there. Remember, that was the hang 100 year. He had to, in the offseason, he had to give back a bunch of money. He took a pay cut to keep his job, and that's when things turned around. So, look, there's a ton of coincidences here that if you look at them in totality, it's hard to call them all coincidence. Not all of them, at least. 517-342-63 out to the phone line. Caller on the air, who is it and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Chris. I'm calling from up north. How are you?
Hey, man. Good to hear from you. How you been?
Hey, I'm good. I'd like to thank the University of Michigan for taking Michigan State off the front pages.
No kidding.
I mean, I can't thank them enough for all that, number one. Number two, I'm beginning to wonder if COVID hasn't had an effect on everybody's thinking through everything in life from here on out. Because I tell you what, there's been some crazy stuff going on lately. I mean, think about the last 2 months of football just in the state of Michigan.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, look at it.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about football, right? Like, we've got one team that's a complete...
Football's a secondary thing.
It is. One team's obviously a dumpster fire with the coach and the scandal he got himself in. The other team's a legitimate national championship contender, and we don't even talk about that anymore.
Right. I'm just wondering, do you think the hammer's going to come down, like, maybe tomorrow on these guys?
No. Well, hold on. What do you think the hammer... What do you mean by that? What's the hammer?
I don't know. I mean... The Big Ten's got to do something.
Do they, though?
Obviously, for this guy to meet with all the coaches last night and all the ADs tonight, there's something in the works.
I don't know that. I could see why you would think that, but I just, look, call me skeptical or cynical or whatever. I just think there's a reason the playoff committee said, yeah, we're not getting involved. We'll let the NCAA handle it. And the reason they said that is it's easier. It's not their problem. And well, I think the Big Ten probably wants to do the same.
Well, it's going to be a chain of command thing here.
Yeah.
The Big Ten moves first, then the NCAA comes in, and then the FBI comes in, or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is just unbelievable to me. I'm not kidding you.
I'm with you, dude. Every day there's something else, and I just...
No, listen, was this guy actually... Has it been proven or solidified that this guy was wearing glasses that had a camera in them?
I mean, we don't have the pair of glasses to inspect, but it's pretty evident. Like, there's one particular video angle where you can see him looking at the field.
Blue light up in the corner.
Yep. And if you look, you can find those exact pair of glasses online. Ray-Ban makes them. They're like $300, and they have that little blue light right next to the lens. It's pretty clear. Like, why else wear Ray-Bans during a night game?
Not only that, how does he get on the sidelines? I've been there numerous times before I moved up north, and I'm telling you, security's tight there.
Yeah, CMU's got a lot to answer for, and for anyone who's never had a field pass, it is incredibly regulated. If you have a field pass, you can't just wander around the sideline. You've got like a 10-square-foot box you have to stand in.
I think you have to stay within both 25s or something.
Outside of them, right?
Yeah, outside the 25.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be on the actual bench. Like, that's not allowed, and they're very militant about that. So clearly, look, the guy had someone on the inside that made all that happen, and he spent a lot of time in that game standing right next to CMU's recruiting director, who I think he knew from U of M. So, I mean, you connect the dots.
Well, and not only that, Central's got like four or five staffers are from, U of M. So there's a link there, too. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm a conspiracy theorist like you, but I'm certainly glad Ann Arbor is certainly taking over the headlines away from East Lansing. That I'm thankful for.
Me too, man. Thanks for the call. I got to leave it there just up against it. But I'm with you. And the CMU stuff, I don't think that's a conspiracy theory because there's pretty compelling evidence that it's not a theory, let alone a conspiracy theory. By the way, CMU and Michigan have had a bit of a, what's the word? I don't know, football relationship for a while. You know, they've had coaches go from one to the other a lot in the past. It's not new. Not that State hasn't either, but I think Michigan's relationship with CMU is way more active between coaches and players moving back and forth. So, I mean, there's a lot to raise your eyebrows about that. Like I said, though, on when we came back from Labor Day, and like I said, when this came out on Tuesday, I'm done with CMU, man. We ain't playing you anymore. We ain't subsidizing your poverty program anymore. You let this kind of crap happen? Sorry. You better call Georgia to go down there and get your ass beat by 70 again. We ain't paying you anymore. You want to play us? You pay us. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
The Detroit Red Wings are back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network.
He shoots, he scores on the back end.
Lansing's Big Talker, 1240 WJIM. Never miss a game again, whether you're on the go or just like doing it the old-fashioned way and sitting around the radio.
Larkin scores from the right side goal line.
Every face-off and every playoff can be heard on Lansing's exclusive home for Detroit Red Wings hockey. 1240 WJIM, Lansing's only home for hockey.
Got a hot take?
Boom! Hot take!
Offensive-minded phone lines are open. 517-300-4263.
All right, we're back. Sorry, I'm a little off my game today. I'm having some sort of, I don't know if it's allergies or what. So if you hear a awkward dead air, like just then, that's because I'm trying to hit the sneeze button. Anyway, all right. I wanted to catch up on messages here. Good Lord, I'm sorry, guys. I'm having a full-blown meltdown over here. Okay. I'm behind on messages, so let me try to catch up. So earlier, John and Holt. The mayor of Holt, John Freeberg, he messages in the 3-game 7:30 a.m. app. What do you think Michigan's punishment should be? I think they should be, well, he says, I think they should not be able to participate in the playoffs. I'm tired of the NCAA and Big Ten not doing anything because it's Michigan. Well, to be fair, I don't know if either would want to do anything regardless of who the team is in season. But I'm asking you, like, I don't have the answers on this. Not all of them. Not even close. So you're going to have to weigh in, and you tell me that's what I'm asking. I don't know. And I don't know what's going to happen either. I haven't seen any updates from that AD meeting that Tony Petit is having. No updates on that right now either. Joaquin's Beard in East Lansing. All right, we're going to have to go to break. Sorry, guys. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker, 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. A tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC. Doubting Industries, Chupan & Sons Recycling Industrial Services, Gravity Smokehouse, and Chandler's Top Shelf. This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show. Back to the best in sports talk now. On the only station serving Lansing with the best sports talk for 30 years. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, sorry about that, guys. Apologize for that. Off my game a little bit today. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's allergies or what, but we're going to power through here. All right. I had more messages to catch up on in the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. This is from, this is Joaquin's Beard in East Lansing. He says, Beanie, I wish you would have pointed out to Barrister Mark in Lansing that paying stallions to go out and videotape hand signals and reimbursing his travel and ticket expenses is what sets Michigan apart from other schools. Yes, MSU and dozens of other schools try to figure out opponents' hand signals, but they don't institutionalize it. Michigan apologists have gone from cheeseburger to nothing burger to everybody does it. There are none so blind as to those who will not see. All right, thanks, Joaquin's Beard in EL. Yeah, just to update everyone where we are in the Michigan fan/cult response cycle. We start with stage one, which is, this is all BS. Okay, then we went to stage two, which was, it's a nothing burger. Then we went to stage three, everybody does it. Then we went to stage four, which is, he acted alone. No one else knew. He was a lone wolf, a rogue agent. And now we're at stage five. Let's leave the Big Ten for the SEC, where we'll be applauded for cheating instead of condemned for it. I saw that on some Michigan fan on Twitter was saying we should leave for the SEC. Yeah, okay. Just to show how the mighty have fallen. Here's another message. This is from Farmer in Longmont in the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. He says, Michigan became good 3 years ago because they finally got very good quarterbacking. The first three games this year, they didn't cover. Then they started playing Big Ten teams that are terrible and did well. Then they played Georgia and TCU, very good teams, and got wiped. Okay. I mean, there is the coincidence of a widespread, unprecedented in scope and severity surveillance scandal happening over the same time. Things that make you raise your eyebrows, and also the almost statistically impossible overperformance against the spread that Michigan has had over the last 3 years. I mean, at the very least, I understand if you're in the cult, you can't think critically about it. I get it. But at the very least, if you're even anywhere near reality, you have to be skeptical somewhat. You got to raise at least one eyebrow. All right, we're running out of time. I did want to get you some of this Tom Izzo sound. He appeared on WXYT in Detroit radio today and talked about a multitude of things, one of which was, you know, we lost one of the true titans of sports yesterday, and Bob Knight passed away. Izzo, of course, was very fond of him. Take a listen. This is him talking about the first time he coached against the legendary General Robert Montgomery Knight.
A person and as an adversary.
Yeah.
No better person to reflect on his career.
Oh, hold on. I don't know what happened. I screwed up the timestamp, I guess. Well, anyway. Man, yeah. I'm not doing great today. I apologize. Tom Izzo did talk at length about it. I'm not sure what happened to that clip. I'll try again here, see if I can find the spot.
That there are, and, you know, when you look back at Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler, and, you know, I always said I wish I was a football coach because those guys got to do what they wanted, and nobody knew because they were on a football field, you know. Part to them, but as far as if you needed them or you wanted them, that guy was unbelievable to me, to Judd, I think to the game of basketball, and I really mean that in every way, shape, or form.
When you look at his legacy and his time as the youngest coach at the moment at West Point, and then his time at Indiana and then Texas Tech, what, when you think about his legacy and his impact on college basketball, what was that?
Winner, you know, he won everywhere he went. I mean, how do you win at Army? You know, it's impossible. how do you, you know, then he went to Indiana and he won, but, you know, then he went to Texas Tech and, you know, all of a sudden there's 14,000 people in the stands and he won there. So, you know, I think he is a winner, and people will argue the antics or, you know, the chair throwing and things that I see go his way. But, you know, let's face it, guys. Judd Heathcote used to say, sooner or later, the game makes fools of us all.
That's Tom Izzo on WXYT in Detroit today talking about Bobby Knight. I think there was one more clip we needed to get to because he talked about the first time he coached against him, and he shares a pretty good story that I think you guys would appreciate hearing. I'm trying to scrub it, find it at the right spot, but... Let me see. I think I got it. Here we go.
Well, I'll just give you a hint. I wore a diaper. So I was prepared. You know, I did look down at him, and I remember Mark Hollis. We walked out. We played Indiana, my first Big Ten game in Breslin. And I walked out, and we weren't as good. And there were 4,000 red sweaters in the crowd. And I remember arguing with Mark Hollis in the hallway that this will never happen again. We got to change the deal and change the student section. And I mean, this is before the game. And we went out and beat them in a big upset. And so that was my first Big Ten win. And believe it or not, he was gracious. He was complimentary and I'm sure mad. But you learn a lot about a guy during those times. And that's why I said, my first win was against Indiana and Bob Knight, the national championship. You know, I think he helped me get there on that day in Bloomington. So, you know, a lot of people are going to want me to say this and that, nothing but respect, admiration, and just realizing there's a lot of ways to do things, and yet probably got to curb yourself. And I think he would have. I think he could have. I don't know if he could have dealt with Twitter. I mean, that should be illegal, so nobody should have to deal with that.
That's Tom Izzo on Bob Knight, who passed away yesterday. I hope you got a chance to listen to Tim today earlier on Stout on Sports. Tim knew Bob Knight pretty well and shared, you know, he did a hell of a show about it. So if you missed out, you can get full episodes of Offensive Minded and Stout on Sports for free wherever you get your podcast. Just search for our shows there, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, whatever. I would urge you to catch up on that. Well worth your time, especially if you're interested in learning more about the general passed away yesterday. One last cut from Izzo on WXYT in Detroit earlier today. He was asked about the coaching search. Specifically, he was asked about the Urban Meyer rumors. And I wanted to cue that up for you because it's interesting. And then he talks about, you know, he talks about the coaching search in general, too. So here we go. Take a listen.
You know, I don't think nothing of those. I mean, again, I'm just blown away how my favorite subject, the Twitter, you know, is social media, media in general, how they manufacture things. And so I think, you know, we'll figure out where Harlan is. We'll figure out who the next coach is. And we got a next president. We got a lot of things going on here. But I'm going to stick to this, guys. We got a lot of opportunity here. And somehow, some way, we're going to get this thing back together. And when we do, we will have done something that the modern student athlete is not allowed to do. We have gone through adversity. We failed a little bit. And we're going to learn what it's like to come back on top and feel good about it. Instead of never failing and never knowing what that's like, you never feel good. This is life lessons, and I'm excited to be a part of it and try to get things back to normal.
Well, there you go. Tom Izzo this morning on WXYT in Detroit. If you're wondering, I don't think there's anything legitimate or official on the coaching search or Urban Meyer in general right now out there. I know he had another one of his weekly like media appearances go live last night. One of those videos was at Urban's Take, where he addresses the, you know, will he return to coaching again? The upteenth time, it seems like. So I think I have sound of that. I can play that for you. And it's just the 1,000,000th time, it seems like, in the last few weeks he's had to, I guess not had to, but he's weighed in on that. The sound is not cooperating here. Apologize. It was from Urban's Take, the weekly On Three show he does with Tim May. We've played sound from that before, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, where Tim May asked him, are you coming back to coaching? And he said, no, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. So take that for what it's worth. Wouldn't be the first time a coach said that and then returned. It wouldn't be the first time this coach said that and then returned. I'm trying to see if I can get this damn sound to cooperate. I'd like to play that for you before we get out today, but it's looking unlikely. And I still haven't gotten any updates on the Big Ten AD meeting with Tony Petitti. If I did, I could pass that along to you, but there's nothing out there right now. Yeah, sorry, I can't get the sound to work. But what I can try to do here is... Oh, hang on, it might work now. Let me see. Let's see if we can get this going.
You know, we didn't touch on this last week, but I wanted to ask you, just what's your general take of the accusations, the allegations and things, some of them fairly substantial and backed up with some evidence too now, but we don't know where it's going, but the you know, for one note on the sign stealing hyphen gate situation with the University of Michigan, with the young man, Connor Stallions, just from what you've been able to piece together and kind of, you know, judging your own way, what's your take on that situation at the moment?
Yeah, this is really the first time, you know, because it's you and because it's a guy I respect, so I'm very cautious. I've been asked over 100 times to comment on it, and I just won't because, but I am going to, I'll tell you my thoughts is, first of all, I'm very skeptical of reporters reporting. My experiences are they're wrong most of the time, you know, and that's not a shot at the media, but that's reality, is that people say things in the reporting that's just not true.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a benefit of the doubt saying, it's hard for me to believe that is true, because I also heard people say that, well, everyone does that. And Tim, no one does that. Yeah. I've never heard of that in 40 years of being around the game, that, you know, it's a there's a very clear rule, you know, and that rule is, and someone says it's not that important. Once again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. If they know your signals, it is that important. You're changing the game. No, it's, that's very egregious if that's happened. I'm not saying it did, because I'm still skeptical that it did.
All right, that's not the sound I was looking for, but maybe tomorrow. Until then, 4 to 6, be safe and be good.